Born in New York City, actress Lee Grant spent her youth accumulating more experiences than most people have in a lifetime. From student at the famed Neighborhood Playhouse to member of the legendary Actor Studio, from celebrated Broadway star to Vogue It Girl, an Oscar winner for Shampoo. At age 24, she was nominated for an Academy Award for Detective Story. A year later, found herself married and a mother for the first time, her career on the rise. And then she lost it all. Her name landed on the Hollywood blacklist, her offers for film and television roles ground to a halt, and her marriage fell apart. She's just written a memoir entitled I Said Yes to Everything, and it's a great pleasure to welcome back Lee Grant to the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe.
So nice to have you back. You were on for when the book first came out in hardcover. It's
right.
Now out in paperback, and it's a delight to speak with you again.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, thank you very much. You know, reading the story is quite incredible because you go through so many facets of your career, and what you learn ultimately is what resilience you have. And I'm curious as to how much you knew you had at the very beginning.
You know, there's a kind of connection that I found out about myself between ignorance and resilience. If I knew what I knew before I jumped, I don't think I would have jumped. But I, you know, in writing it, I found that I jumped into everything without thinking, with you know, fearful parents and friends saying don't, and I did, and sometimes I regretted it, but I did it, and there was nothing I could do to take it back once it was done. So I think stupidity and willfulness. I had a lot to do with it.
Now, you can say stupidity, but we can also call it a confidence. Don't you think that there is a confidence that if I take this, I feel that I am good enough on my feet that I can, even if it doesn't work out, I can learn from this experience?
Well, I don't think I was thinking of learning. I was headstrong and eager and wanted to live everything. Gulp, gulp, gulp. More. And it just never occurred to me ever to be smart enough to say, what's going to happen if I do this? What's going to happen if I do this? I was a reactor in a kind of way. Oh, I'm here now, so how do I handle this? You know, it wasn't until much later that I knew what I was doing and where I was landing.
At what point did you even begin to think that acting, because you started very young, right? I mean, you were 3-4 years old when you started to perform.
Well, I was, but that was like dancing at the Metropolitan. You know, I was kind of pushed by my mother into any art that she could find until I found acting. You know, when I found acting when I was like 17, I'd come home. You know, that was the one sure thing inside me. I could do this. And it was a very kind of religious focus for me. It was everything I wanted, and it was all the experiences I wanted on stage. You know, I could lose myself in all of these characters and explore the lives of other people, and it was so freeing. And the friends I made in acting, I mean, Maureen Stapleton and Marlon and all the people who were around then were like thrilling friends. So that was like jumping into heaven, and I was the priestess. You know, it was it was everything I wanted in life. You know,
You went to the Actors Studio under the direction of Lee Strasberg. You mentioned Marlon Brando, of course. And the work between the actors and the relationship between the actors, this is a very close-knit community, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And was that important to, again, to learn the craft and to also gain a certain understanding of what it is that you were doing and the importance of that?
Well, first of all, you know, it was like being in an orchestra and Maureen Stapleton gets up and does something on the violin and we're all there and see it and say, oh, my God. You know, look at that note you hit. Look at that imagination going. You were kind of leaning forward, not to use that new expression.
Right, lean in, right.
Leaning forward, watching your friends do things that you'd never seen before and go to places emotionally that you wanted to go to now. It was like the kicking open of a door of feeling, of emotion and intellect that was absolutely a turn-on. And also, you know, actors have a family. You go into a production, you do a play, and you bond with the actors that you're with like you bond with your own family, better, more, because you are so intense for that time on stage. Everything that person does means more to you than anything that could happen in your own bedroom. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it's a kind of electric habit. And something that you want again and again and again, because it's living at your own highest point, at your highest emotional point.
I just want to give people just a sense, not only of a story in this book, but of your beautiful writing style, which is so great. But Marlon had asked me out the year before, picked me up on his motorcycle, thrilling, and took me to a nightclub in the 50s on 8th Avenue. We sat on a long leather settee, had drinks at a small black table, and silently watched a naked woman on a small black stage do artistic and lewd things with a giant cobra. Not a word exchanged. What can you say? Back on the motorcycle, holding onto his back, to my front door. I had my key out, no kiss, thanked him, opened and closed the door, out of love.
Yes.
That was that.
That's
a great story.
Well, yes, particularly since I'd been so madly, you know, attracted to him.
Yes.
You know, madly attracted. I mean, my breath wouldn't go. I tried to, you know, speak sentences in front of him and couldn't, and of course tried to hide it from him. But, you know, so when he finally asked me out on this date, you know, I was like, oh, a wreck. And then, you know, sitting there watching this naked girl play with her snake, everything just drained out of me. It was over.
There's a phrase you don't hear on the air enough. So eventually, now you're on Broadway by as I mentioned in the introduction, by 24 years old, you're on Broadway, you're a Vogue It girl, you're an Academy Award nominee. And then you marry a divorced older screenwriter, you become stepmother to his kids, and that's really when things start crashing down for you in the 50s, because really it does boil down to one speech, doesn't it, Lee?
Yeah, it does. The memorial for J. Edward Bromberg.
And that put you on the Hollywood blacklist.
Mm-hmm.
So how much of that had to do with your husband? How much of it had to do with you?
I really think it had nothing to do with him at that time. You know, the House and American Activities guys were very bad, but also very stupid. And they didn't connect for many, many years. The FBI did, I guess, that I was married to somebody they considered to be a communist. What got me in trouble was that a fellow actor who had been blacklisted, J. Edward Bromberg, died, and they asked me to speak at his memorial. And he'd been a blacklisted actor. He'd come from Hollywood, and I was in a play with him. And it was a huge event. There were 5,000 people there, and all of the elite of Broadway spoke. And I said that I think that he had had his heart attack because the House Un-American Activities Committee kept hounding him. That's what he told me. And so it was 2 days after that I found that I was on the blacklist. And it was because of those remarks made at the memorial. You didn't need much in those days.
How hard was it for you to get off the list and to get back into the graces of Hollywood?
Well, I think I was one of the last ones to get off the list. They kept on wanting me to name my husband.
Right.
And the concept, the idea of naming someone in order to work was so outside of any bone in my body or vessel in my body that I would have never worked again. Broadway was free. Broadway never had a blacklist. There was an agreement between Equity and the producers that nobody should blacklist anyone. So I had a theater career. But to the idea of a wife turning in her husband in order to get a television show, John.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it makes me so angry all over again. The concept that they could get somebody to name somebody in order to do a series is, they just live in a different world, that's all.
You know, one of the things, and I think this happened the last time I spoke with you as well, we get talking about these incredible things that happened in your life. And just in the minute or two that we have left, I don't want to forget, because you have had an extraordinary directing career. Really extraordinary directing career. And I'm curious as to at what point you decided that that was something you were interested in and that you could excel at.
Well, it never occurred to me, because I'm an actor inside out, true blue, but I went to AFI and I did their first women's directing project, and it was such a release for me because staying a star, or I wasn't really that much of a star, but staying a name is a lot of pressure, and the release that I got from working with actors myself and being behind the camera was like, oh my God, this is fun,
Right.
And then when I did the documentaries, all of the things that they shut me up from saying for 12 years, like, came out. I could do subjects that had a meaning for me, and nobody would put me away or say you can't work again. You know what I'm saying? From the women at the bank who couldn't get ahead, to, as a matter of fact, with this whole Caitlyn Jenner thing. 30 years ago, I made the first transgender, transsexual film, and it's a great documentary of people who were, in the AIDS age, of what was happening to young people then, who were so scared and so dehumanized because they were either gay or transsexual or transgender. And I would like to put that out again. I would like to see what's happened to those people 30 years later.
What Sex Am I is the documentary?
What, John?
What Sex Am I is the documentary?
Yeah, What Sex Am I?
Yeah.
So you know, there's that stuff to be kind of re-explored.
Well, the book is absolutely beautiful. It is, I said yes to everything. It is a memoir. It is published by Plume. Lee Grant, what a delight to have you back on the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
And what a delight to talk to you again, John.
Thank you very much. Very nice to have you. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.